Well, this is a bit odd, but open your Bibles with me to Mark chapter 6. Before we start reading there, I want to read Psalm 23. So if you're gathered with us online, we are glad you're here. If you're joining us by radio, we are glad you're joining with us. Again, want to invite you to open your Bibles to Mark chapter 6. We'll be there in a moment. Before we dive into Mark chapter 6, I want to read Psalm 23. If you're on Facebook, invite others to watch with you. I don't think there's another Sunday. I know there's not one that I've lived through that could compare to this one. And just the decisions that have had to be made walking into this Sunday. And so just know, church, just know that we are the only ones with a living hope today. And so regardless of our circumstances, we should be thankful for that. And so use this opportunity to invite others into your life, invite others to worship with you or watch us, join us as we worship, so that they can hear about our living hope today. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We need our good shepherd every day. The good shepherd that David talks about in Psalm 23 is also our Lord and our good shepherd. And it's days like this, weeks, seasons like this that remind us just how much we need him. Makes us particularly aware of our need for him. David had confidence in the face of death, in the face of threats on his life. You may not feel like this particular thing that's going on in our world right now, the coronavirus, is a threat. But some do. We need to recognize that. And today, as much as any day, the world needs a church who is confident in their good shepherd. And so my hope today, as we look at Mark chapter 6, my hope today is that for those who are tempted towards worry in this season, that the Lord would ground us in him today, and for all of us, that the Lord would use his word to remind us who he is and remind us who we are in relation to him, and remind us that there are many people that are like sheep without a shepherd that we can be witnesses to in a season like this. If you're listening today, if you're joining with us by Facebook or radio, I said earlier, Dustin said and sang earlier that we have a living hope. And I just want to say on the front end, our hope is in Jesus Christ. We believe he is alive and reigning today, that none of this surprised him. We believe that we need him desperately, not just physically, but spiritually. We need him even more, because without him we are dead in our sins, deserving of eternal death. And we believe that he lived the perfect life that we could not live. The book of Hebrews in the New Testament says he was tempted in every way that we are, yet without sin. So he lived the life that we could not live. And we believe, as the Bible tells us, that he died on the cross in our place. So not only do we believe that he lived a life that we could not live, we believe that he died the death that we deserved. And we believe that he's our living hope, because we believe that 3 days after he died on the cross, he walked out of the grave. A few days later after that, he ascended to heaven. And we believe he's alive and reigning today. So we can sing to him, and we can cry to him for help, and we can have comfort in the midst of troubling times. And so today, as you hear about Mark 6 and what God's word teaches us about ourselves and about the Lord in Mark 6, we just want to proclaim Jesus to you and say that just like us, you can place faith in him alone today. And we want to encourage you towards him as much as we possibly can. We invite you to pray with me now before we dive into Mark chapter 6. Let's pray. Father, we don't really know what to do during this time. We're doing the best that we can. And so, Lord, we continue to ask for wisdom. We continue to pray, as Dustin's already led us, Lord, that you would just wipe out this pandemic, that you would extend wisdom beyond our capabilities to our leaders and to doctors and to our healthcare professionals, that you would just provide all the wisdom that they need, all the other things that they need to handle this. We pray that you would give us, as your church, your people, courage, not in ourselves, but in you. Faith, not in ourselves, but in you, Lord. And so, Lord, we ask that you would use our time and your word this morning to do that. In your holy name we pray, Jesus. Amen. Mark chapter 6, one of my favorite places to go in the Gospels outside of the death and resurrection of our Lord, is this passage, verses 30 through 52. Really, it's two passages, two stories that we're probably, most of us are probably familiar with, when Jesus feeds the 5,000 and when Jesus walks on the water. We're going to look at them together today. Some of you have heard me walk through this before, so this may sound familiar to you, but as I prayed about where to go this morning, I just felt like the Lord was leading me here. So this is where we are. I'm going to read, then we're just going to walk through this, see what Jesus was doing in these situations, see what his disciples were doing in this situation, and then apply all those things to ourselves as the church as we walk through this. Mark chapter 6, verse 30. The apostles returned to Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. And he said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while." For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a desolate place by themselves. So just kind of take in what's going on. The disciples have been out ministering. They're tired. Jesus is tired. And Jesus kind of says, "Look, we need some rest. Let's go find us a place where we can be by ourselves and rest." So they get in a boat, and I'm sure the disciples are like, "Finally, we just get to sit down for a little bit." And they go to do that. They get in a boat, and they go to what Jesus calls a desolate place by themselves. Verse 33. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they ran there on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd, and began to teach them many things. So just take it in. Disciples are tired. Jesus is tired. They get to what they think is going to be a place by themselves, but all these people, and later we find out that it's probably about 10,000 people have gathered there to continue to see and hear Jesus teach and seek healing from him. Jesus gets out of the boat, looks at them. He says that they are like sheep without a shepherd. So you think of David in Psalm 23. David is praising God because God is his shepherd. He's taking great comfort in the fact that he has a good shepherd. Jesus looks at these people and he says these people are like sheep without a shepherd. So they have none of that comfort, none of that provision, none of that protection that David praises his God for in Psalm 23. And Jesus' response to that is he sits down and begins to teach them many things. Verse 35. And when it grew late, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a desolate place, and the hour is not now late. Send them away to go into the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." But he, Jesus, answered them, "You give them something to eat." And they said to him, "Shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give it to them to eat?" So are you getting the whole picture of what's going on? Jesus is compassionate for these people. The disciples really aren't. The 12 disciples that are following Jesus really aren't that compassionate for these people. They've just waited for a moment that they think they could appropriately tell Jesus, "Hey, this is enough." So when that moment rolls around, it's late, they go to Jesus and they say, "Jesus, it's time to wrap this thing up," so they can get themselves something to eat. And Jesus tells them, "You get them something to eat." Now remember, the disciples are tired already. They were ready for a break. They've had to sit and watch these people be taught by Jesus some more in the place where they were supposed to be resting. And Jesus says, "You go get something to eat." And one of the disciples points out to Jesus, as if Jesus didn't know, "Jesus, it would take more than a year's salary to feed all these people." So Jesus responds to them, verse 38. Well, first, before we read that, let's just take this in for a moment. Do you see the temptation that the disciples were dealing with? In a desolate place with Jesus, the disciples were worried about themselves. They were with the good shepherd who could take care of them, but they were worried about themselves. Jesus was worried about the sheep that had no shepherd, and the sheep with a shepherd were worried about themselves. We need to recognize in the situation, and I'm speaking to the church right now, church, we need to recognize as believers that the situation that we find ourselves in during this odd time, this frightening time, is that we will be tempted in the exact same way. We have a good shepherd who will take care of us one way or another. He will take care of us, no doubt about it. We are with him. We are sheep with a shepherd. But just like the disciples during this season, and many others, but particularly during this season, however long it lasts, we will be tempted to worry about ourselves when there are many who are like sheep without a shepherd. And we may find ourselves tempted to act just like the disciples in this passage. "Jesus, what do you expect us to do? Spend a year's salary on these people?" "Jesus, what about me? Jesus, are you not concerned about me? Jesus, I don't think you understand the situation that we are in." We would never dream of saying those kinds of things, Jesus, but just know we may find ourselves in a situation where we are tempted to say those kinds of things to our Lord. And there's good news in this passage, because we are directed to think differently about ourselves and about our Lord in this passage. Keep reading, verse 38. And he said to them, "How many loaves do you have? Go and see." And when they had found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Then he commanded them all to sit down in groups on the green grass. So passage later tells us 5,000 men, that equals to men, women, and children, probably about 10,000, possibly more. Jesus and his disciples come up with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Not enough, right? 39, he commanded them all to sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups by hundreds and fifties. And taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples to set before the people. And he divided the 2 fish among them all. Now, just think about this whole process that Jesus is leading the disciples through. All he has is 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. He blesses the 5 loaves and 2 fish, and he begins to break them apart and pass them out to the disciples. And the disciples are just having to go along with it. Like, you can probably hear the doubts of some of them. But they do it. Verse 42 says, "And they all ate and were satisfied." So, over 10,000 men, women, and children ate and were satisfied by Jesus taking these 5 loaves of bread and these 2 fish and multiplying them out for more than enough to satisfy everybody that was there. Verse 43, "And they," that is the disciples, "took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces and of the fish. And those who ate the loaves were 5,000 men." Now I want you to see something here. The disciples at the beginning of all this were worried about who? They were worried about the disciples. "Jesus, what about us? We're tired. We were tired. That's why we came here. What about us? How are we going to get rest? How are we going to be fed?" They didn't want to trust Jesus. And look at verse 43. Jesus fed everybody there. The disciples have not been fed yet, but he fed everybody else there. And verse 43 says, "They took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces and of the fish." These baskets would have been about waist high, about this big around. And there was 12 of them. And there was 12 disciples. Jesus took care of them. I want you to see one other thing. In this passage, Jesus does some things that if we know the word, we can see it. Psalm 23 that we read earlier, I want you to reflect on that as I point some things out to you in this passage. Verse 32, it says, "They went away in the boat to a desolate place by themselves." Usually those words, desolate place, in the New Testament point to like a wilderness where there's nothing there that you need. In fact, if you're there, you won't have what you need. David says in Psalm 23, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, where I'm in a place where I don't have all that I need, where I'm in a place where my life may be threatened, I will fear no evil, for my God is with me." Verse 34, Jesus says, "They were like sheep without a shepherd." And there's that imagery from Psalm 23 again, where David says, "The Lord is my shepherd." Go on down to verse 39. Before Jesus feeds everybody, it says he commanded them all to sit down in groups on the green grass. And you look at verse 45, we also see that this green grass that they were sitting down in was by some water. In that same Psalm 23, it says, "The good shepherd makes us lie down in green pastures and leads me beside still waters." get down to verses 42 and 43, and you see that Jesus fed everybody until they were satisfied, and the disciples each had an entire basket full of bread and fish for themselves. David says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want." We read this passage, and we're reminded that in desolate places, we can be tempted to worry about ourselves alone, just like the disciples. But we keep reading this passage, and we find that in the midst of that temptation, we need to trust Jesus to take care of us and all the others that are around that are like sheep without a shepherd, because he will. Church, we have a good shepherd. Regardless of what comes our way, we have a good shepherd who will take care of us. And we need not follow the example of the disciples here going, "Jesus, what about us? Jesus, do you not realize the situation we are in?" We should face this situation with confidence in the Lord, in our good shepherd to take care of us. Because right now, the world does not need a church that sits back in fear. Right now, the world needs a church that is full of faith in Jesus. So they can see us and say, why do they have such hope during this time? And they can find the answer is Jesus. Now, the amazing thing is about this passage is that the disciples did not get it. They didn't get it. Later on, you get down to verse 52, and it says, they did not understand about the loaves. They didn't understand what Jesus was showing them. So Jesus continued to do some things in the next passage to show them who he was. So let's keep reading. Verse 45, it says, immediately, so that's right after Jesus feeds the 5,000. Immediately, he made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, to Bethsaida, while he dismissed the crowd. And after he had taken leave of them, he went up on the mountain to pray. And when evening came, the boat was out on the sea, and he was alone on the land. And he saw that they were making headway painfully, for the wind was against them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. Now, just remember the entire situation that's just happened. They've just watched Jesus miraculously take care of 10,000 men, women, and children and themselves. They're probably a little bit in shock trying to figure out what just happened. What did he just do? Jesus puts them in a boat, sends them to the other side of the lake, and goes up on a mountain to pray. God's word tells us that Jesus sees them struggling against the wind. In other words, they couldn't make it across the lake. They were stuck in the middle of the lake trying to get where they were going because the wind was too strong. So Jesus makes his way to them by walking on the water. Watch their response. Verse 48, about halfway through it, says he came to them walking on the sea. He meant to pass by them. But when they saw him walking on the sea, they thought it was a ghost and cried out, for they all saw him and were terrified. So you think about the situation the disciples are in. They're in a boat. They're trying to get across the lake. It seems like a storm's brewing up. Wind's blowing so hard that they can't get where they're going. It's a bad situation. Then all of a sudden, they see someone walking on the water. They conclude that it's a ghost. So a really bad situation grows exponentially worse. It goes from a bad situation to a terrifying situation, a bad situation to a frightening situation. But I want you to see what Jesus was doing for them. We, as a church, need to see that what Jesus was doing for them in the midst of a terrifying situation. He put them there. He allowed them to row out in the middle of the, in the middle of the lake and get stuck. And he comes out there to them. It says he was walking on the sea. Job 9, verse 7 and 8 says this: Who shakes the earth out of its place and its pillars tremble? Who commands the sun and it does not rise? Who seals up the stars? Who alone stretched out the heavens? Who is that? That's God, right? Then it asks this question: Who alone stretched out the heavens and trampled the waves of the sea? That word trampled is walked, it's stomped across the sea. Who is that that can walk across the waves of the sea? It is God. So when Jesus comes walking to them upon the sea, he's revealing something to them, that he is the Lord. In this terrifying situation, he is revealing to them that he is the Lord. But not only that, Mark tells us that he, in verse 48, that he meant to pass by them. Again, words that should echo in our minds from the Old Testament. God allowed his presence. In Exodus chapter 33, to pass by Moses. God allowed his presence. And 1 Kings chapter 19 to pass by Elijah. And here the disciples are in this boat in the middle of this lake. And Jesus is about to pass by them, revealing that he is the Lord. And they lose their minds. Terrified, frightened. They can't get their eyes on Jesus. It's too much on their situation. They're too scared. There's no faith, only fear in them. So Jesus steps into the boat. It says, but immediately he spoke to them and said, take heart. That word literally means be of good courage, have courage, take heart, it is I. I don't do this often, but the words in the Greek here is just two words, not three like in our English Bible. In our English Bible, it reads, it is I. But literally, it's two words in the Greek. The first word that Jesus said was ego, which is our word, I. The second word was like our contraction for I am. So literally, Jesus looked at them and said, have courage, I am. And then he says, do not be afraid. He got in the boat with them, and the wind ceased, and they were utterly astounded. Exodus chapter 3, God comes to Moses, and he says, Moses, go get my people out of slavery in Egypt. Moses says, who am I supposed to tell them has sent me? And God says to Moses, tell them I am sent you. We fast forward to Mark chapter 6. The disciples are in a bad situation that's gotten exponentially worse in their eyes. Jesus comes to them walking on the waves, to pass by them, to show them his glory. They're too terrified to see what he's doing. So he stops and he says, have courage. I am the same I am that took the people out of Egypt. I am. Have courage. Do not be afraid. And he got in the boat, and the wind ceased. You know that sometimes the Lord uses terrifying situations to remind his people who he is, to illustrate just how mighty and powerful and strong his saving hand is. Church, I said it a moment ago, but I need to say it again. right now, there are a host of people in our county and surrounding counties that are like sheep without a shepherd. And they need us to look to our shepherd and be of good courage. So if you're a Christian and you're with your family, or you're alone, or you're today, I just want to encourage you. Dustin's going to come and lead us in one more song that we sang earlier. And as he's singing, you're welcome to worship with him through song, but I want to encourage you to pray and just ask the Lord, God, regardless of what happens in the days to come, whether this thing blows over and nothing happens, or this thing gets exponentially worse, Lord, help me to be of good courage. Help my faith in you to grow. Help us to be a church who is filled with faith and not fear. If you're anxious about all the things that are going around us, then lay your anxieties, cast your anxieties upon the Lord, because he cares. If you're gathered with us today and you're not a believer, we again, as I said at the beginning of the message, we just want to point you to Jesus. He is our living hope, and he can also be your living hope. You can message us, and we would love to show you in the Word what it means to have a relationship and follow Jesus with your life. I want to pray, and Dustin's going to lead us. Jesus, we love you. God, we pray and ask your help today to be of good courage. Lord, we thank you that you are with us, that you will not leave us, you have not forsaken us. We thank you that you are the one who tramples upon the sea. We thank you, you are the one that revealed your glory to Moses and Elijah. We thank you that, Jesus, you are the one who lived the life we couldn't, died the death we deserved, walked out of the grave, conquering the worst enemy, death. God, we thank you. We thank you that we can have a living hope, and we do have a living hope in Jesus. And we pray that you would use all of this for your glory. We know that you will. So we pray that you would use this terrible situation for the glory of your name, to bring many, many to you in repentance and faith, and that you would strengthen the faith of your children here. Lord, we ask for that kind of faith, strong faith. Self-giving faith, selfless faith that longs to serve you and follow you regardless of what the days may bring ahead. In your holy name we pray, Jesus. Amen.